and welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined, as always, by Melbourne writers Michelle Andrews, that would be me, and Zara McDonald, that would be you.
Hello, producer Annabelle Lee too.
Hello. Coming up on today's show, Dolly Alderton's Everything I Know About Love debuts. So how did we find one of the year's most hyped up shows? Plus, we need to talk about Liam Payne again. Then the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial comes to an end. Rumours that Tammy Hembrow and her fiancé Matt Poole have split circulate days away from the birth of their child. And then, guys, we go back to the questions in a glass jar and answer whatever the hell Annabelle Lee picks out for us. But first, Zara, how was your week?
Yeah, it was a pretty good week. It was not too bad. I had this thing happen late last week. Where, you know, how we were talking about sort of the run-of-the-mill, middle-rung sort of embarrassing moments.
I know what you're going to say. Was this when I was sick on Friday?
You weren't here. And we were at a cafe and I was like squeezing between two tables trying to get in out of my spot.
Why were you guys at a cafe when I was off sick? That's cool.
We were eating lunch.
We were celebrating. Michelle's sick, hooray!
And I was trying to squeeze out of the table, like between two tables, and there were two guys, two older guys sitting on a table, and I am catching Annabelle's eye as I'm like slowly trying to move through. I wasn't going quickly. I was trying to really slowly go through, and I look at Annabelle with fear in my eyes, being like, I'm not getting out of here unscathed. And
I
did it.
Can I have a question before you keep going, just so I'm clear? So you are trying to squeeze past them. They're like adjacent to you.
Correct. I'm trying to get out of my boothy seat. And I obviously knock over a whole bottle of water onto one of the guys, which is fine. Like, it happens.
Onto one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, onto his pants. Like, the whole bottle of water collapses onto his pants. And I think, you know what? Could have been coffee.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
And it's also one of those funny things where you just sort of, you run and you get your serviettes and then you give them back to them. And then you think, I simply have to leave you. Like, unfortunately, not my issue. Anyway, as we're walking out, Annabelle Lee turns to me and goes, God, are you okay? You must be mortified. I'd be mortified if I was you.
And as soon as I said it, I was like, shouldn't have said that.
I said, are you okay? You can't be saying that. It was like the other day. I tripped up the stairs. I was carrying three coffees. I tripped up the stairs at the Commons. I couldn't be fucked telling you I this either. And there's not many people around. Mm. So clearly the people that are around have to ignore it. A guy runs over to me and goes, God, that was loud. You all right? And I said, again, what is with etiquette when people do dumb things?
You need someone. Sorry, Annabelle. No, you really handled this the wrong way. You need someone who looks at you and goes, I've done the exact same thing. Or that is so me. Oh, I would have done exactly that.
Thank God it was water, not coffee. No stress.
Yeah.
It should be banned for someone to say, A, oh, huge fall. Or B, oh, I'd be mortified if I was you.
But also, that was loud. I feel like when you fall, the noise is probably the most embarrassing part of the whole thing. So if you can like not comment on the noise, that would be great. Another great comment to make is you handled that really well.
Okay, that's why I think I reacted the way I did, because I was so proud of you with the way you reacted. You were not awkward, but you were kind to these men that you'd spill water all over.
Well, you have to be kind. I'm not walking away saying, have a good day, guys.
And fuck you.
I was just thinking I would have like cried if I was you.
You're still making bad. Anyway, so that's my week. I do have two recommendations. I actually have a bunch, so I'll just try to litter them throughout the episode and squeeze them into parts that work. But I'll give you two now because I feel like I've consumed some good stuff this week. Now, as we know, it was the Platinum Jubbly.
Yes, it was the Platinum Jubbly, or as people on Twitter are calling it, the Platty Jubes.
Which I don't mind.
I don't mind it either. Jubes, that's cute.
Yeah, jubes like boobs.
Yeah, Platty
and Jubes. There was some wonderful footage that came out of those festivities. I mean, Prince Louis going wild is one of them. But what it did is it prompted a lot of people to look back on, you know, big royal events. And one newsletter that I'm subscribed to is by Jo Elvin, who used to be the editor-in-chief of Glamour over in the UK. Yeah. She's actually Australian. And she wrote a column called How to Wang On About a Royal Wedding. And she wrote this entire piece about how when Harry and Meghan got married, she somehow found her way into the BBC coverage and what that was like behind the scenes for the people that worked 24 hours a day over 3 to 4 days for this royal wedding. And I'd never read this perspective of how how much was on the line for these people.
Oh, I love that.
And she was tasked with being the fashion commentator. So she was trying madly the days leading up to the wedding to work out who had designed Megan's dress and what she was going to be wearing. And she basically was just tasked with speculating for 3 days and then trying to work out straight away as she stepped out who the designer was. It was a great piece.
I love doing this job, but that is my dream job.
Incredibly stressful though. The way she described it, I was like, oh, that sounds incredibly stressful. So that's a really good read. I mean, I know royal content is not for everyone. I know the Platinum Jubilee is not for everyone. I also know royal weddings is not for everyone. It is for me.
I also, on fashion and royals, I loved what a lot of people wore to the Platy Jubes. I thought Meghan Markle looked great and I thought Kate Middleton looked great. They both looked ravishing.
Absolutely. My second very quick recommendation now, I honestly think every single person listening to this should listen to this podcast episode. It is an episode of The Imperfects with Dr. Emily. The title of the episode is Truth versus Harmony. Now, I thought over the years that I was getting pretty good at setting my boundaries, telling people what I needed, and listening to this even I found confronting. So dare I say the both of you are in deep trouble.
Oh, no, because you said boundaries is the theme of the year and I thought that's what we've been doing the whole year.
I thought we've been getting way better at it,
What are we doing wrong?
No, it's nothing. It's not about right or wrong.
I'm stressed already.
I was talking to a friend about this and she was like, it is confronting, but it's also very freeing listening to this episode. Now, very quickly, the concept of truth versus harmony is this idea that, let's say you have a relationship where there are some issues that you want to raise. We all have stuff we want to raise in our relationships. You have two options. You can tell the truth or you can pick harmony, which is, I don't want to rock the boat. And that's what a lot of us do all the time. And Dr. Emily says...
Annabelle's furiously nodding over
Mish
there.
And I were looking at each other like, we do that.
We all do a bit. You guys do it a bit more. And she said the issue with picking harmony is eventually, as time goes on, you lose out on both truth and harmony because you end up resenting people. And it reminded me a lot of that very famous Brené Brown quote that I keep rattling out all the time, where she said the most compassionate people are the ones that are able to set boundaries because they don't end up resenting people, right?
Hey guys, it's Ruby here. I'm a podcast producer at Shameless Media. Just a quick request from me. If you like the episode that you're listening to, can you click follow in whatever app you're listening on? That way it helps us out on the charts. Thank you.
And now it is time for the quick and dirty. As always, we bring you the top five stories from the rough and tumble of celebrity and pop culture news cycle.
She's a pro.
Michelle.
Hello.
Backy back. Andrews, what have you got for me?
My first story. Liam Payne apologises for his comments about Zayn Malik. That is from Esquire. And of fucking course, we need to talk about this again, you guys. For context, last week when we put Liam Payne in the episode, we squeezed him in at like the 11th hour, right? Like we hopped back into the studio to record a segment about Liam Payne because the interview had just started making headlines. And the initial headlines were all about his comments on Zayn Malik. What we didn't realize is how much other wild shit he said in that chat.
It was a treasure trove. It was a treasure trove of narcissism. Now, we need to give a quick refresher, perhaps for those who might have missed last week's episode. But basically, Liam Payne got on Logan Paul's podcast and said that, and I quote, "There are many reasons why I dislike Zayn, and there are many reasons why I'll always, always be on his side." Another one of his comments was about hands. He said, "There was one moment where there was an argument backstage and one member of the band in particular threw me up a wall. So I said to him, if you don't remove those hands, there's a high likelihood you'll never use them again."
I love on TikTok, people have been playing that snippet of the chat over clips of Liam Payne while he was in the band, like doing his dance.
It's like, ooh, scary boy.
Now, in response to the backlash, of which there was heaps, people went wild over this, Liam had to respond and he tweeted out this. "Guys, I wouldn't normally comment on this stuff, but when it's your family, it's hard to let slide. They mentioned a specific incident involving Zayn, which I responded to. But listening back, maybe I didn't articulate myself as well as I could have. I was saying that there will always be things we disagree on, but that I will always, always be on his side.
That's family. Zayn is my brother and I will stand by him forever.
Like we said this last week, for a guy who's been in the public eye for what, 15 years, it is remarkable to me that he is not better media trained in having these conversations because yes, it did come out pretty badly. Of course, those weren't the only things that Liam said in the podcast that people rolled their eyes about. I mean, at one point he referred to himself as a certified rock star and then he said this.
And from what I've heard is that like, part of the reason One Direction was made was because of Simon's promise to me that in 2 years, I'll make this work for you.
Wow.
So he kind of started with my face and then worked around the rest. I've never told that story before.
You were the inception.
I was the honorary member of One Direction, yes. And he's told me that story himself in his house.
I die for that comment of, I've never told that story before. Like, let me just sneak that in.
There is so much to unpack. Also, the very end line where he says, he actually told me that in his house. Like, that is the beauty of Liam Payne, is that every single word is beautiful. It's all beautiful.
So he thinks so highly of himself. Like, even that thing you mentioned before, to call himself a certified rock star. Find me a human under the sun who calls One Direction a rock band.
What about the other quote? About him outselling his bandmates, because we desperately need to play that for the listeners.
Here it is.
So I came out of the band and my dad called me, oh yeah, here we go, you're going to go solo. It's been his dream since I was a kid, his dream. Hmm. And I said, I'll only do it if the right song comes along, otherwise I'm not bothered. I don't want to tarnish the legacy I have already. I've done something that's already worldwide famous and I've got fucking gold records for it. I said, I don't need to do this. It's not important to me. Ed Sheeran wrote me this song and I thought, oh shit.
Oh no.
Here we bloody well go again. Here we go, no. Boys. Pull your shorts up, off we pop. And yeah, we did the first song, billion streams. I think it outsold everybody within the band and I was the last to go. Oh, and I never expected that.
Billion streams.
Here we go, boys.
What was the song again?
Strip that down.
Oh, yeah.
It did okay.
My favourite thing about that song, though, Strip That Down, it's not surprising Ed Sheeran wrote it. I thought Ed Sheeran was singing it.
That's what a lot of people said.
If you guys are wondering what it is, it goes like, strip that down for me.
Yeah.
We don't sing on this show. It's a rule that we're sticking to, we promise. But I didn't know that was Liam Payne. And also, he did not outsell other members of the band, Zara.
Well, he might be trying to get people on a technicality in that at that time he was doing better in some random measurement. But like to lack the self-awareness when you've got Harry Styles just coming off Coachella and the release of Harry's House, like is just hilarious. I feel like I've memorized that quote word for word because it does remind me, I posted a TikTok on my Instagram story of the comparison between that quote and David Brent from The Office. I don't know if you guys have seen the UK Office, but you hear that quote and it actually, the minute you start thinking about David Brent, it's him.
It's him. Now, if we want to talk facts, 6 other songs by former bandmates, most of them sung by Harry Styles, have outperformed Strip That Down. So he's not even close to being number one. He's number 7.
I also think Logan Paul must have known.
Oh,
he must have known because he was amping him up, particularly when he was saying that Simon, you know, started the band around him. They're like, oh my God. I honestly reckon they knew the magic that they were sitting on. Now, we need to talk as well about Lizzo's response to all of this, which we posted on Instagram this week. She said on a TikTok live, I don't know who lied to that poor boy, but he was not the front man. Poor boy is incredible.
Poor little Liam. It's an epic way to handle it. All of this really made me think a lot as well about how much one podcast interview can make or break a celebrity's reputation. I know we spoke about this briefly when it was Molly Mae Hague's 24 hours in a day comment, but this really drove it home. If you get onto a podcast and you're not being self-aware, people will pillage you. Like they will come for you, particularly now that we're having videos shared right across TikTok.
Yeah, and if you do want a better One Direction members interview, my actual third recommendation is Harry Styles' interview for Apple TV with Zane Lowe. I don't know if you guys have seen any of it.
It is a great chat.
It's a long one. It goes for well over an hour, but some of Harry just comes across incredibly self-aware, which is what's lacking in this interview, and pretty humble. Like he was quoting this Michaela Cole line of him having to learn that visibility is not the same as success, that he can't be everywhere all the time and he can't confuse that for being successful. So I would recommend that instead.
Good job sneaking that in. Thank you. Very impressive. My second story, Johnny Depp wins defamation case against former wife Amber Heard. That is from ABC. And just a heads up before we jump into this, it will detail instances of domestic violence. If you would prefer to skip this part of the podcast, fast forward about 4 minutes. So, in case you missed it, we're almost